hate this function because it says starting recording and then suddenly it says it's been recording for 4 minutes. And I'm like, no, because we haven't been on the phone for 4 minutes. So I don't know what you're talking about, computer.
Disagree with that statement.
Which part of that statement?
No. I was saying you disagree with the computer telling you it's been recording for 4 minutes.
Yes, I very much do.
Right.
It's lying to me. Right. But hi, welcome back to the Book Report Podcast. It's been a while, or at least it feels like it's been a while, but time has no more meaning in the Rona days, so I don't actually know how long it's been. As you can see, we now have new backing music, and I'm just going to keep talking to see how long he already gave up. I'm just going to see how long Steven could keep doing it.
No, all right, for everyone listening, I was not doing anything. Joel decided he was going to do some weird bit at the beginning, so he had... What's his name in the background? Beatboxing?
What's his name? The only other person here is Damien, and he's outside.
Yeah, Damien was beatboxing.
That would be really impressive. I wish my dog could beatbox.
It's really weird that you're dating someone with the same name as your dog.
I'm dating someone named Dylan, and I don't think I would trust him to beatbox either.
Yeah, because Damien is a dog, and Damien's a human. It's a weird complex you got. This is the Book Report. But anyways, welcome to the Book Report. I'm Stephen Reese.
I'm Joel Dean.
He exists.
Yeah. So, we've been off for a bit getting our lives in order. Or, some semblance of order.
Like the whole month. It's been fun.
Yeah. I was actually looking back and trying to figure out how long we braked between season one and season two. And I think we braked over all of the holidays. But we were also so inconsistent with when we post these that it was really hard to tell.
Yes, it was. It's impossible. We don't really have a schedule. We expect everyone else to conform to us, which tends to work.
Yeah, I mean, it's too hard to plan things out for more than, like, an hour in advance. Come on.
I don't even know what I'm having for supper.
Well, so we thought we would take this episode as an opportunity to, as an opportunity to reintroduce ourselves, the purpose of the podcast, and kind of just give you a preview of everything we're going to be doing this season, because we do have some episode ideas, but they are... very not fleshed out.
Way to really oversell it, Joel.
I'm trying. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, so we thought, and this was something I decided to do, like, was it this morning or last night? I was like, hey, Steven, write up some questions and let's interview each other to open the first episode of season 3 of the Book Report Podcast. And then I wrote questions about an hour ago, but I don't know when I came up with this.
It doesn't matter. I've got some questions for you. You've got some questions for me.
Yeah. So let's do this. I have five actual questions and one bullet point that just says, introduce yourself, ... So reintroduce yourself. I'll do the same. And then we can go into our questions.
Okay. My name is Steven. I am a level 81 paladin knight. walks on the beach and smoothies, and I am a habitual liar in Liars Anonymous.
That's Is there me. Such thing as Liars Anonymous?
I don't think so. I think it's assumed anonymous because why would you tell your true name if you're in Liars Anonymous?
Decent point.
So I think it's actually just called Congress.
Ah, is the actual there you go. That's name. There's the rub.
Right. Well, also, if I sound subdued, it's because I've been teaching all day, because I am a teacher.
Yes. Fun times to be a teacher.
In the dojo. I teach karate. I was very inspired.
So much cooler. You should totally do that.
I do. What are you talking about? Can you just start talking? Because this silence is not getting filled by
Sorry. Me. Yeah. I'm Joel. I am the exact opposite of all the things Steven just said. So a karate student, a habitual truth teller. I hate long walks on the beach and smoothies. And I forget the other things you said. But I'm the exact opposite of all of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I said devilishly handsome, so that's awkward that you walked into that.
Yeah, don't remember you saying that one.
It's tricky, man. It's hard to keep track. I talk a mile a minute.
Well, I take it all back.
Right.
Okay. Interview me, sir.
Okay. So since this is a podcast that originally developed with us recommending books to each other, how do you generally find new books to read? What's kind of your process for that?
Well, it depends on what I'm reading them on. If I'm reading it on Kindle, I go through the things that are on sale or recommended, and then I just read the descriptions and see something that looks interesting. If I'm reading it like a physical book, I will go to the store and either wait till something catches my attention walking down the aisles, or find someone else there, whether it be a person who works there or a random stranger. And often I was going to say compliment their picks in reads, but often it's I insult things that they're picking up, and then they tell me things that they like, and I choose books that way. Like I'm currently reading a book, or just started a book, called Foundry Side, that I went to this pop-up bookstore and kind of insulted the guy's whole collection. And then afterwards he recommended me this book. So okay. Yeah.
Wow. It's amazing that you haven't been burned alive yet.
I know. Why do people like me?
Actually, it's hard to make that one to you. All right. So follow up question to that. So obviously you kind of roll the dice when you're finding new books to read. How long do you usually read a book before you just give up?
I have only ever given up on a handful of books, and it's got to be really bad for me to just completely give up on a book. And I usually make it to at least 30% in before okay. I
about call thirds. It have you ever gone back to a book you previously gave up on and then realized that book was like actually amazing?
Probably, but I can't actually. Yes, I do have a remember that. Couple books that I just read when I was too young that I went back to and tried again and then loved. Okay. Trying to think of the name of it. Now I don't really like them anymore, but do you remember Frank Peretti? You know that author?
Name's not here, but
he was like a big evangelical Christian book author guy, but he wrote like these adventure books for kids that had like a Christian worldview set. And looking back at them, all the plots are very dumb, but I was allowed to read these when I was younger, and I read one of them when I was way too young and thought it was stupid, and then read another one when I was like 10 or 11, and I was like, oh, I actually understand this now and like it. And then look back at it and I'm like, that's the dumbest plot of any book I've ever heard of. So I've gone through a whole roller coaster.
Yeah, us Christian introverted kids grow up thinking I'm gonna be a Christian author, and then you realize how stupid most of those books actually are because mm-hmm. they're just overt in their messaging yeah. and they're just impossible to read. It's mm-hmm. one of the reasons why like C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien disagreed on a lot of things, because Tolkien was like, allegory is stupid, mm-hmm. and C.S. Lewis was like, yeah, but that's like what I did my entire dissertation on, so screw you.
That's interesting that we're insulting C.S. Lewis already before we've gotten into our planned read-along books this this season.
So third question. Mm-hmm. How has your micropenis affected your romantic relationships?
Well, it's been a struggle, obviously. Apparently what I thought micromint was incorrect. And I've been mispronouncing macro the whole time.
I was actually going to say they actually did come out with it in the Boston Journal of Medicine that you have to have at least a half inch for it to be considered micro.
Why do you know this?
So anything lower than that, and they actually have not yet codified it. So I guess you're right. We don't know what it is.
All right. What's your next real question?
About modern science. Okay, so is there an author who does a better job at something than all the rest of them? So, like, laying the scene, world building, action sequences, in your opinion.
This is, I can actually need to put a lot of thought into that because I'm sure I have a better answer than this. But
entire episode, if you want to start really, table that,
we do need to do an episode on that. But the first thing that comes to my mind is just because I just finished another one of his books. Jeff Vandermeer.
Okay.
He does.
Oh, the guy from Twin Peaks.
No, the guy who wrote Annihilation and Born and Acceptance and Strange Bird and all of those. He does ethereal, like almost poetic prose better than anybody else I've ever read.
Okay. And is there a genre of books that you absolutely refuse to read?
The ones that pretend they're romance but are really just porn for lonely ladies?
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually going to be my answer. If you're like, yours? Yep, do not read the romances. Cannot do it.
Things, like, though,
ever watched the Honest Trailers YouTube channel?
Mm-hmm. I love that channel.
They do some pretty funny ones for 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, I've read actual, like, romantic novels and romantic stories, and they're not bad. They're not my favorite things, but if they're written well, they're not bad. But the actual romance books, like, I follow a subreddit and a Twitter account that's like, what is it called? It's just like the worst love scenes in fiction, and it's hilarious. And I'm like, it's just bad, bad, bad writing. Why would anyone sit through and read all of that?
Yeah, I read an article once on I forget what exactly the article was talking about, but it was saying how ridiculous those books get because the authors try to come up with, like, really inventive euphemisms for what's happening just to kind of, like, keep the plot from getting too stagnant, because it gets really
the same thing over and over again.
Just read, he was aroused, right? Like, okay, great. So they're like, he was as aroused as a bull moose in the, I don't know, Alaskan out, like,
yeah. And it's sex is a very difficult thing to describe in a way that's
it's easy. You just do it tune of Hokey Pokey. He puts his penis in, he pulls
penis make out, it into a song each time. Yeah.
And he shakes it all up. Like, it's not that difficult. Come on.
Not that difficult. I'm changing one of my questions because you just asked it with the least favorite genre thing.
You make the title of this episode the Hokey Pokey?
Yes, absolutely. That's happening.
Love it. Okay, so do you want my last question?
Yeah, I lost count of how many you've asked.
I've asked four. One of them was about your micropenis. So the last question is, how long did it take you to become the international president of the Teeny Weeny Weeny Committee?
Teeny Weeny Weeny? That was a painful rhyme there.
It's close to the Itty Bitty Titty Committee. That it one is. Works much.
It does. Itty Bitty Titty works much, much better.
I had a friend in high school who told his girlfriend that she was the chairperson of that committee, and they shortly afterwards.
I can't imagine why.
That didn't last super long.
Okay.
All right. What are your questions, Joel?
Okay. So my first one for you is, what is the first chapter book you remember reading?
So the first one I remember reading was The Once and Future King by T.H. White.
Nice.
Yeah. In third grade. And I remember it very, very strongly because there was a kid. His name was Grant. Grant was a douchebag. And he grabbed the book out of my hands and closed it. And that book, for those of you who have not read it, is like 400 pages long.
It's very big.
So trying to find where I was at in that book was one of the most traumatic moments of my young childhood. I think I spent more time trying to find where I was in that book than I spent actually finishing reading the book. So
that's,
if you're still
there, bookmarks are important.
You. Actually, Grant turned into a great man. Also, thank you for your service, Grant.
Come to the Book Report podcast for book recommendations. Stay for us insulting the troops.
You get it.
Who Okay. What's your, this one's easy, but what is your favorite genre and why?
I like fantasy because I think it is the purest form of fiction. I think that when you're writing something that's fake, you might as well just go for broke. Like, what's the point of writing a fake story in the real world? I live in the real world, and I have no interest in spending more time in it than I have to. So if I'm going to read a story, I want it to rip me out of reality.
Hmm. Yeah, no, that's a good reason. Okay. What's the angriest you've ever gotten at a book? Could be for good reasons, like just interesting plots that pissed you off, or like the book just took a wrong turn. What's the angriest you've gotten in a book?
Oh, that is a tough one. I have been really angry in books at like really annoying characters. So I know in the Chronicles of Narnia, there's that one really annoying character that's easy to hate. And I forgot, it's probably, I don't remember his name. It's in the, I think, Voyage of the Dawn Treader, whatever.
Yeah, isn't it Eugene? I think it is. Or Augustus, something like that. He has a really pretentious name.
I think it's British. It sounds like he had money. I got very angry when the very first beheading in Game of Thrones happened, but I think all of us did.
Eustace. His name was Eustace. Oh,
yeah, even worse. Like, you can't get much worse than that. You name a kid Eustace, and that kid is going to live in a basement.
Right.
With the body parts just collected, not playing video games or anything. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know when I've gotten really angry at a character. It happens often enough that it all kind of blurs together, to be honest.
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, Joffrey, you know, you can't help but hate that kid.
Right.
I think a lot of them were honestly from Game of Thrones, though. Martin, for the first couple of books, just did a really good job at writing in hateable characters.
All of his books have a really high like emotional value to them. Like, you can get really caught up in them pretty easily. I remember throwing the book, spoiler alert, throwing the book when Jon Snow died. Like, I was livid.
Movies are over, everyone hated them, and they basically died in terms of our collective consciousness. No one cares anymore.
All right. What is your, or who, or what is your favorite villain in all of literature?
Oh, geez. Favorite villain. Haven't we talked about this before?
We mentioned it, and I couldn't remember when I mentioned it, but I saw my answer is Marco Inaris from book 5 of The Expanse, and season 5 of The Expanse is about to come out, and they just dropped a trailer, and I remembered how great, how well written that character was, and that's what made me think of this question.
Yes, my favorite is the main bad guy whose name escapes me from the Chronicle of the Unhewn Throne series.
Okay.
Because it's just written in such a way as you are very sympathetic towards the villain in a lot of chapters, because it's written in a way where the villain is so deceptive that half the time you think that he's actually the good guy. And then other times you're like, no, wait, he's definitely the bad guy. But then it flips again and you're like, but actually he might be the good. So you just spend the entire series like waffling back and forth on whether or not you should hate the guy. And right. I love it. Really like it, because the character is essentially supposed to be an immortal being. And if you're going to have an immortal being, then they should absolutely be smart enough to cause that type of confusion. So far and away, my favorite.
Hmm. Good answer. I need to move that one up on my to read list. Okay, so this one's, I think we can both answer this question. What is your favorite episode of this podcast? Whether it just be how it turned out or which ones we recorded, just what's your favorite one we've done?
I really like the one where we, I think it was either the one where we discussed the Ender's Game or the Dresden Files books, because I really like getting deep into the books I already know really well. Mm-hmm. I just think it's fun to kind of flesh out some of the things we would have done differently, the things that we hated, the things that we liked.
Yeah, the Ender's Game Elantris one is definitely my favorite episode of all time, because that was a rough day when I recorded it, and I was very, very inebriated in that episode, and it turned out so much fun.
Yeah, that was the industrial accident that gave you the micro penis, right?
Exactly. That was the one.
Bandsaw.
Yeah, that's episode 10 of season 1 if you want to go back and listen to it. That was a truly unique evening.
That was good. I enjoyed that one quite a bit.
Yeah. Ooh, I see you put a bonus question on here.
Oh, no. I already asked it. I put the bonus question because I didn't want to shortchange you since I added the micropenis question.
Oh, gotcha. But that's a good bonus question. We should discuss that because it sounds like you have a story there. Have you ever pretended to like a book based on who you were talking to?
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you. So do you want to answer? Or do you want
me to? I'm thinking. That was me thinking out loud. I'm sure I have, but I can't. Let me think.
So I was at a wedding recently. Okay, we were talking about the Broken Earth trilogy. And it wasn't that I was pretending to like a book I hated. It's that I was pretending to like everything about the book. And I didn't mention any of the issues I had with it because the person I was talking to just loved it so much. I did not feel like I could bring up any of the problems that I had with it because they were worshiping the ground that N.K. Jemisin walked on.
Gotcha. It was one of those people who was so in love with something they couldn't handle actual criticism of it.
Exactly. Yeah. 100%.
Those people always disturb me. There are problems with everything, and if you can't recognize them, you're blind.
Exactly. Yeah. It's okay. The person in question wasn't I spent like 5 minutes talking to them before I was like, I don't think we're going to enjoy each other's presence, so I'm going to go find cool people.
I can't think of a specific situation where I did that, but I'm sure it's happened. I'm, as you probably know, very free and open with my opinions most of the time. So I can't imagine saying I liked something that I really hated, but I can definitely imagine doing that, where I pretended to like something a lot more than I actually did.
Didn't know if, like, any time in high school or college there was some book that, you know, you pretended to be into because it was the thing to do. Made you sound like a more literary person.
I remember I was the only person in my AP English class who liked The Scarlet Letter and hated The Great Gatsby, and everybody else in the class was the exact opposite, and I couldn't understand.
Yeah, I actually agree with you on that. The Scarlet Letter is objectively more interesting.
Like, The Great Gatsby is so much more interesting.
The Great Gatsby is okay. I think everyone just likes The Great Gatsby because they are like, oh my god, it would be so much fun to go to a party in the 1920s. Ah.
Yeah, it was. I just don't understand why everyone loves that book so much. It's so bizarre. Wait, where
can you have sex with anyone?
Say all that again.
I said it would be so much fun to go to a 1920s party, and it would be so boring to go to a puritanical England where I can't have sex with anybody.
Yes, if you're only reading books that you can put yourself in those people's shoes, then obviously the 20s sound more fun than puritanical England, but still.
As a white male, puritanical New England sounds pretty baller.
I don't know what you're talking about. Like those clothes look massively uncomfortable.
Yeah, which is why you get
alcohol and coffee.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Okay. Well, this is going to be a fairly short episode, but we wanted to go into some other things that we have done in the break. For instance, we've now both read a couple more of the books that the other one has recommended, and we wanted to touch base on that. I, at one point, had a list of the episodes we talked about them on so I can make reference to it, but I already lost that. Let me open up a new tab and cut this part out.
No, I like you leaving that. That way everyone knows. Everyone knows where we're at.
Very disorganized.
Aren't we all?
Okay. So I finished reading The Warded Man, which you recommended back a while ago. This must have been season 1.
Definitely.
Yeah, this was episode 8, Warded Man, The Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. I still haven't watched that movie.
I haven't either. I'm a little afraid. I don't know what a movie about lesbianism made in like the 30s is going to be like.
I'm sorry. Did we just do this again accidentally? Because the book I know, I think you've read a couple of mine, but the book I know you've read of mine is The Three Body Problem, and that's the book I talked about that episode.
Right. So, we're just working through our own podcast.
Right. We're skipping around a bit, but we keep going back to the same episode. That's funny.
I like that. That's I appreciate it.
We can't possibly plan these things, people, because we don't plan ahead at all.
We do not. We really don't. We should, but we don't.
Well, do you want to go first, or you want me to go first?
Oh, I don't care. I will let you go first.
All right.
Tell me if you liked The Warded Man.
Yeah, I actually really liked The Warded Man by the end of it. But the first, like, third of the book was really, really annoying to me, because it kept doing this thing that, obviously, by the end of the book, it was doing it on purpose, but it kept doing this thing where it would switch character perspectives right as the story got interesting. Mm-hmm. And it'd be like, it lingered with the main character, the guy who became the Warded Man. It lingered with him. Well, massive spoiler, I guess. It lingered with him so long that you thought it was just going to be a one perspective book. And then right when his story got really interesting and really compelling, it switched to somebody else. And then it lingered with them for so long, you thought it was going to be just that person for like a while until they interacted with the other person. And then it switched again to a third person. And each one of those was this massive block of text. It wasn't like every chapter it would switch back or something. It gave you no inclination it was ever going to go back to the other characters. And it felt like for the first third of the book, it was just doing this world building exposition, but it made me care about somebody's story and then was like, nah, we're going somewhere else. And I was so angry at that.
I forgot that they did that, but you are so right. He does not follow the general convention of how you write a three-person story. Because normally you usually have like one, maybe two chapters that focuses on one perspective, then the other one, then the other one, then it switches back and forth and back and forth. His, he just kind of like blocks it out. He says, okay, I'm going to tell this person's story. And when I'm halfway through, I'll tell another person's story.
Yeah.
We'll eventually bring it together somehow, maybe.
It's like he wrote each person's story until it reached a climactic moment and was like, and now we're going somewhere else. It was like, you can't yada, yada, yada over the climactic moment that I care about. I was so like, I'm pretty sure I texted you. I was like, does it just keep doing this? Does it ever get back to these people? What is happening?
Yeah, it's hard to read sometimes because it almost feels like the author's sitting there and he's like, ooh, this is a really cool climax. I do not know how to resolve it. I'll come back to this.
Going off. And it did a thing where like it was accidentally doing the serendipitous thing where they're almost going to meet, but you didn't even notice that until the third section. So you've read like the first half of all these people's stories and you finally get to the end of one of them and it's like, oh, they were all generally in the same area, so they could have interacted eventually. But now they're all going way separate ways.
Right.
And they don't come back together till the very end of the book. And it was just like, okay, this is just infuriating. But once I realized that's what's happening and once it went back to the first character, I was like, okay, so he's just lingering with everybody for a while. I can get into this. And then I thought it did a bunch of really interesting things. It does the whole, you know, chosen one raised on a farm trope that you kind of hate in fantasy, but it does it it does it like adventurous, like these are, adventurous isn't the right word. He doesn't believe he is the chosen one and he doesn't care about the prophecy. Very Dune Muad'Dib style, like he might be it, he doesn't actually give a crap, like, which is much more compelling than, I don't know if I'm the chosen one, I have to rebel against this, I don't know what it means to be governed by prophecy. I love it much more when the chosen one is just like, eh, I don't give a shit. I don't believe it, I'm going on with my life.
Yeah, his answer is pretty good, because I think, if I remember correctly, he's just like pretty much, if this whole world doesn't really deal with gods and religion or anything, but this guy's basically a full-blown atheist and he's just like, I don't really care, I'm here to live my life and that's all I'm gonna do. Everyone else, like, can.
Yeah, his main love interest being the daughter of like the head priest of this huge city, and him utterly rejecting all of it, and not even utterly rejecting it, but just not even knowing it. So atheistic, he didn't even understand that he's this prophesied, that, yeah, was really fun. And then I haven't started the second book, but I liked the ending setting up the central conflict really well. It felt like a season opener to a TV show instead of most first books in a trilogy or a series will end with this, we still have to beat the big bad, but it'll end with some closure and some solidarity. This one really kind of ended where the main story is supposed to begin. It gave you all this interesting backstory and built this whole world, and then was like, and now the real conflict's about to start. And I really liked that preview of the way the rest of the story is going to go. And that's why I feel like this one still works as a standalone, because it almost reads like a prequel. So it's really interesting.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I don't know how you'll feel about this. Most people liked the first book and didn't really like the second or third. So if you want to just stop reading, that is probably okay. I liked book two and book three just because I thought the story itself was interesting. But I don't know. You can look online and see what some of the issues people had with the two books were. I really liked them personally, which means I probably just have bad taste. But they do the same thing where they bounce between perspectives for long stretches of time. I do think that the author does a good job of fleshing out the characters. The only thing I hate is that eventually the main character does get a love interest, and their interaction is about as bad as the interaction between Ginny Weasley and Harry Potter. Like, there's no chemistry.
Gotcha.
It's just hard to watch, and you kind of wish that one of them would die, and you don't really care who by the time they're done talking.
Well, that's kind of how I felt at the end of the book. The fact that they had made the a lot of stuff at the very end of this book felt a little rushed. Mm-hmm. It felt like it had been building up to these three characters getting together and becoming, a trio that would, carry the rest of the fantasy series. The head, the heart, the hand situation.
The three characters in the first book are that they talk through.
The jongleur, half hand, the herb gatherer, virgin lady, and then the warded man.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So the second book brings in a very, very unique perspective. And I like it adds a very interesting depth to the story.
Well, at the end of the first book, it built up these three characters as they're going to be your protagonists going forward. They're going to be your Ron, Harry, and Hermione. And then it gets to the end where they all start interacting again, or for the first time, actually. And suddenly, all of their character, all their characterizations switch. And the whole time, they've each been built up to be their own badass selves. And then they're all together, and none of them are that anymore. The atheist is now this stoic, silent type when he's always been the smartest person in the room and has been not afraid to say it. The jongleur has been the happy-go-lucky but also accidentally super powerful because he can control the demons with his music. And steadfast dude. And now he's whimpering in the background. And the herb gatherer has been this, I'm protecting my virtue and I also don't need a man. And then, spoiler alert, she gets raped and suddenly starts sleeping with the badass tattooed guy. And it's like, why did all of your characterization for the entire book go out the window once you met with each other?
Yeah, it was bizarre, for sure.
It just got rushed and strange, and I didn't like that. They got them back to themselves, but it was like the third act, or the third act fight between the main characters in any movie nowadays. You know what's going to happen. It's a pointless obstacle. You could just go on with the main conflict. And this was like, you've already established all these characters very well. You don't need to de-establish them just so you can re-establish them in the final fight. Like, that's not necessary. And he did it anyways. It
was how weird. I kind of felt with, what was it? The Civil War Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think Captain America in his own movies is fine. I think that Iron Man in his movies is great. When you put them both in a movie together, they lose a lot of the characterization that makes either one of them, worth watching. That's, I think, what the author ended up doing as well. I think he just didn't know how to write three very strong personalities in a room with each other.
Yeah. So they all defaulted to these weird personalities that they never had been. Agreed. And again, he righted it by the end of the book, but it was just like this thing you've been wanting to happen. The whole story finally happens and you're just like, ugh, I don't want these people together. These are not the characters I've been reading about for the entire story.
Exactly. And by the second and third books, he separates them out again. Like they're obviously still working together and all that, but he moves them into different rooms, for lack of a better word, which helps kind of alleviate some of that.
Gotcha.
I was like, sure. All
right, but yeah, I really did like it, and I already have bought the second one, so we'll at least read it. So we'll see. How many books are you currently reading?
A lot.
Yeah. I'm currently reading five different books. I'm rereading all the Mistborn series. I'm reading this book, Foundry Side. I have the sequel to The Warded Man on my phone. I'm reading The Infinite Noise and Mr. Was, and I'm just like, all right, I can't.
Yeah, it gets to be a lot. It really does. My wife once asked me what I was reading once, and I told her, and then the next day she was like, so how's that book going? And I told her I was reading something else. And then she asked how many books I read, and I told her, and it's really interesting, like the difference between someone who really likes to read and someone who doesn't, because someone who doesn't read just cannot fathom how you can have multiple books going at once. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know why we do that. I think it's just that you're in a different mood depending on
the exactly.
You really want to read, like, you know, something, I don't know, just one day you're in the mood for this book, another day you're not, so you switch books.
It works like TV for me. Like sometimes you want to watch a sitcom that's over 30 minutes and you want to watch 30 of them in one setting. And sometimes you want to be stimulated and like made thought or, you know, make, have you actual emotional investment. So you sit down for a 3-hour movie. Like it's different mindsets, but you can do both interchangeably. Sometimes I want a book I've never read before that, sometimes, but isn't part of a series. Sometimes I want to start a new series. Sometimes I want to reread something I've read at least five times because I forgot one key moment and I can't just go to that key moment. I have to read the entire series to get back to there. Like different moods.
I agree. All right.
So tell me about what you thought of the three body problem.
So I really, really enjoyed that book. It was a good sci-fi. You know, and you don't get many sci-fis that are set on planet Earth. If you think, like, really think through what I just said, and it's weird, you know, most sci-fis are set somewhere else. And so I thought this one was really cool because it was grounded on planet Earth and it dealt with the idea of an impending alien civilization contact without ever actually having humans or aliens contact each other. And I thought it was really interesting how the author set it up almost in the form of a mystery, and then he grounded it in the Cultural Revolution of China, which was kind of interesting. But I was fascinated by the book. I thought it was just really interesting. It had a lot of really interesting ideas. It was kind of like reading The Martian, where you have a bunch of like math and physics thrown into it. Went way over my head, to the point
that, I felt stupid reading this book a couple times.
I was like, wow, I have not done much with my life. Okay, so I was at a wedding a couple of weeks ago, and I had just finished reading the book, and I was talking to a person at my table, and I found out that they were that they had their PhD in astrophysics, so I may or may not have cornered them and asked way too many questions about the feasibility of certain parts of this book.
Nice.
They may have been annoyed with me. I don't know. I had been drinking, so we had a great conversation about a fictional world full of physics. I really thought it was cool. I thought that the civilization that he dreamed up for the aliens was really neat. You know, it was really interesting. And I don't even know how you would begin to come up with something like that, but it was really cool. Are the next books in the series worth reading?
I have not finished the second book or the third book. I haven't started the third book, but I have not finished the second book in the series. That's one of my ongoing reads. And it's only because it got so much more dense than the first one at one point.
Yeah,
and
I'm just for this.
Well, it got to a point where like it was pretty dense and it was right in the middle of my busiest season, so I put it down. And then when I picked it back up, it did a time jump. And I detest time jumps. They're one of my least favorite things in movies and TV. They're often done really, really well, but once one happens, it takes me so long to get back into the book. So I just haven't picked it back up yet. I love the first half of The Forest of the Dead. Is that the second book? No.
I don't remember. They are queued up on my Kindle somewhere.
Let's see. I'm rolling over to find it on my bookshelf. The Dark Forest.
Okay.
The second one's called The Dark Forest, and the third one's called Death's End. I am halfway through The Dark Forest, maybe a little bit more, and I loved it. Like, the beginning of it was – it blew the first one out of the water with the – they changed translators, so it was a little bit more readable, and the plot was so much more compelling. It was brilliant, but then it got to the time jump, and I still need to know how it ends. I probably need to finish this because of how much I loved the first half, but I just haven't picked it back up.
Okay, fair enough. I think I texted this to you somewhere in the middle of the first book. I was siding with the people who were trying to bring about the end of human civilization.
Mm-hmm. The alien cult people.
These have really good points. Humans do kind of suck. Why are we sticking with these losers? Let's just restart from the beginning.
Yeah. I think my response was over the past 3 years, yes, I totally would have been the lady who was like, yes, come kill us all. That would have been my...
Let's do this. Yeah, I agree. And it's always kind of fun when you get books that change your perspective like that. Because in reality, if an alien civilization came, I would be like joining the military and fighting them because I like planet Earth the way it is. But at the same point, I'm like, man, we are really screwing this planet up. Yeah. Maybe we do need someone to come in and help us out with that. But I just thought that book was really good because he did such a good job of layering what sounded like real plausible physics into a science fiction universe. And normally science fiction books are they're fantasy. I mean, you're coming up with so many fake terms that sound sciencey, and you're saying, oh, we got this warp speed drive. Okay, great. What does that even mean? Like, what are you doing with that? Oh, we're bending time and space around our spaceship. Okay, great. Again, what? But this one was very realistic and went way further in depth with science than I ever wanted in my life. But
it felt like a Michael Crichton book a lot of times, where it's like, you obviously have done your research and understand what you're talking about, even if I don't.
Yes, 100%. I agree with that.
Well, the second one, the first one, the villains are other people, kind of. And as you said, you sided with them half the time. In the second book, the aliens actually become the primary antagonists. And like one of the great things he did in the first book was it made you feel like the enemy was unbeatable, like it was such an impossible problem to solve, as in which is the title, the three-body problem. It was so – they were so, you know, overwhelming. You were against overwhelming odds. In the second book, that's turned up to 11. Like, I have no idea how they're going to get out of this, and he just lets that linger, which makes the book so much more compelling than the first one. I say all that knowing that I haven't finished it.
That sounds cool. I will definitely have to pick it up as my next read then. I've got several books before that, but I will, I'll get there. I'll get there eventually.
Good. Well, if you want to hear us talk about these the first time, you can scroll on back to episode 8 of season 1 called Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, where we both convince the other person to read them, and then now we both have read them.
Because we obviously made very convincing arguments.
Yes, so. Super convincing, that neither of us can remember.
Slept since then.
Yeah, a bunch of times. Well, a few times at least. But we wanted to go over some of the other things we're going to do with this season before we sign off. And we're not sure exactly the order of episodes or any of this stuff, but we have a bunch of ideas we want to talk about. And most importantly, this is the only thing we know for sure, is that for every episode the rest of the season until we finish the book, we are going to be reading through what is the first book in that series called, Steven?
It is called the second book is Perelandra. The first book is called
Out of the Silent Planet. Yeah.
Nailed it. Yeah.
We're reading C.S. Lewis's Space series, because that's as descriptive as they decided to get when they made it a series. And we're going to start with, of course, the first book in the series, Out of the Silent Planet. So we're going to read, let's say, like the first two or three chapters before next episode. I'm not sure how it's broken down or how long it is. I own it, but I haven't cracked it open. So if you want to read along with us so that we don't have to do spoilers, you can pick up Out of the Silent Planet, and we'll be on chapter 3 or 4 next week, and we'll discuss some of it at the end of the episode. So yeah, spoilers. That'll be fun.
Lewis is a hack and doesn't deserve any of the accolades he's given.
And I'm just going to go over this list of episode ideas I typed up. Steven, please hop in there with any of your own that you didn't put on here. Obviously, the newest Dresden Files book has come out, and I've already started reading it, but I've gotten behind because I'm reading too many things at the same time. So as soon as we're both done with the new Dresden Files book.
Let's see, I'm number 112 on the wait list, so I'll probably before you, weirdly enough.
Probably. But once we're both finished with that, we'll have a new Dresden Files episode, so get caught up on that, and you can check back at other two Dresden Files episodes so far. We're going to follow up with our Judging Books by Their Covers episode, because I finished almost all the ones on the list of books I said I was about to read. I talk about which ones we liked and didn't. We're probably going to do it more Judging Books by Their Covers, and more like, I'm about to read this, what do you think? And then this is my favorite thing I've come up with for this season before we get into the two series we're going to work on. I want to do a surprise guest episode where we call people without warning them ahead of time and ask what their favorite books are and why, and turn those spur of the moment calls into a full episode, so we don't have to actually do any work, just randomly call and harass people.
Going to be Joel pretending to call people and me doing different voices.
Yes, it'll be really fun, and we'll test Steven's acting chops. But then we're also going to work on a couple. Last season we did a trilogy on writing, and then we did another one, another couple like themed episodes on different things. This one we want to do a trilogy on banned books. We talk about the best banned books, best and worst reasons books have been banned, and maybe if we become dictators of the world, what books we would ban. And then we're going to touch on another, some of the writing elements series. We talked about other things. Last time we talked about world building, character, story arcs. What was the other things we talked about?
I don't know.
Go back and look. We don't remember. We just talked about like the building blocks of writing. And this one, we want to talk about some of the more detailed stuff, so like the moral lessons and the education that comes from literature, experimental books that we've liked and ones we've hated, and then books on how to write books, because we've both recommended a couple of those and talked about them, but there are so many books written by famous authors on how to write, and they're really fun. All of them are really fun, so we might do a whole episode just on them. Anything to add? Steven?
Favorite book books is going to be an episode coming down the line. The memoirs of Adolf Hitler, I think, it's going to make an appearance.
Oh, okay.
And then probably Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Yes, that's definitely. We're going to start our own Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants with all of our listeners. So we're just going to start mailing you people pants.
I'm not wearing pants. Put on, sorry.
And we're doing this in the British sense of the word pants, so we're just going to be mailing you our underwear, so just be prepared for that.
As your former roommate, just so everyone knows, toilet paper in his bathroom never used, so I'd be very cautious using his underwear.
Gross, horrible. Check us out on Twitter at @book_pod, Facebook at @BookReportPodcast, and Instagram when I update it at @TheBookReportPod with underscores between each word. And if you have other episode ideas, you want to shoot us your phone number so that we can do a random call for a surprise guest episode, or want to yell at us for, you know, whatever, you can email us at bookreportpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. And welcome to season 3.
Woo!
Yeah, you were supposed to do the roller coaster thing when he said woo. So let's try that again. On the count of three, you all do roller coasters and we're going to woo. 1, 2, 3. Woo! You didn't woo. Steven, you ruined it.
We're on a time delay, you dummy. We're on a Skype call. So it doesn't... Oh, I hate you so much.
All right. We'll see you in at least a couple weeks. We don't know what episode's coming next, but we know that we will close it with Out of the Silent Planet read-along section. So get a copy and start reading along with us.
Bye.